Angela Sloan is an investment advisor and representative of Sloan Financial Group, LLC. Investment and advisory services are offered through Madison Avenue Securities, LLC. MAS is a registered investment advisor, member FINRA and SIPC. MAS and Sloan Financial are not affiliated companies.
It's time for The Retirement Architect with Angela Sloan of Sloan Financial Group. This is the show for you. If you're a retiree or approaching retirement and you want to make sure your financial plan has a solid foundation, get ready to learn how to design your own retirement blueprint. Here's Angela.
Welcome, listeners. It's good to be with you today. This is Angela Sloan, your retirement architect. Planning for retirement today is not like it used to be, not like it was with our mothers and our fathers. You see, the pensions are all gone. Our mothers and fathers had those nice pensions for life, and you hardly see those anymore. Companies are taking a back seat, and it's on our shoulders. We have to save for our own retirement. So, having been a financial advisor for the last 30-plus years, and yeah, I did start when I was two, by the way, I've seen these changes firsthand. And over the years, I've had to make significant adjustments as to how I help my clients when it comes to getting through retirement successfully. For one thing, we're seeing people live so much longer than they used to. So retirement lasts a lot longer. Your money has to last a lot longer. As most of us now are responsible for accumulating our own retirement nest egg, that's going to get us through our retirement years. One of the areas of planning is doing everything we can to ensure the plan is not compromised by things like a downturn in the market, just living too long, or unexpected medical expense. And almost every family has been touched in some way by unexpected medical expense. So if you caught our show last week, you know that I spent the entire show talking about one topic that nobody wants to face, and that's long-term care. And I had a client, a guest, on the show with me, who's been a client here for a long time, since 2009. She didn't want to talk about the issue either. She just didn't. She was healthy. She was vibrant. She loved going out with her friends and having a good time. I mean, why would she ever need a long-term care plan? And she bit the bullet and she did it. She listened. She took the advice. And then just 2 years later, she had a stroke, right? She had never smoked. She ate right. She exercised, yet when she was 66, 67 years old, she found herself with the left side, in her words, was like a wet noodle. So now she cannot use her left hand, and she is under home care. She had paid about $10,000 into that long-term care plan, and now she is covered for life, whether it's at home, whether it's in assisted living, or whether, God forbid, she have to go to a facility for nursing care, she's going to be covered for life. Because she had that plan, she is able to live at home. She has somebody coming in from home health that helps her with her day-to-day things that she needs to do, like bathing, fixing her hair. She can't button a blouse. That was a success story. And that's good news that things have worked out for Linda. I'm glad it did. She didn't want to do it, but she did. And today I want to kind of look at the other side of the coin, because you don't see too many success stories in that area. So you've all heard me talk about my situation. My dad died when he was 52. The money ran out pretty quick. My mother was born with a congenital heart defect. She's been in congestive heart failure most of her life after having a heart attack at age 16. She's been totally dependent on me probably for more than 25 years. I've actually had her in my house living with me for about 15 years. And at one point, I had her and my grandmother, and I'm telling you folks, that is not a fun way to live. It's not fun for either party. And it has been a very rough road for everybody involved. So as I've met with clients and talked with people, you hear those type stories more often than you hear the success stories. So I have two guests with me today. I have Nancy and Debbie. Both have similar stories to mine, yet a little bit different. So I want to come back after this break, and I want to talk to Nancy and Debbie about what happened with their mothers and their families. So we'll be back in a moment. Don't go away. You're going to want to hear these two and what they've had to face and what one of them is still having to deal with. So we'll be back in a moment. This is Angela Sloan, your retirement architect. If you have questions about any topic that we talk about, you can call us at 803-222-2892, or you can email us at info@sloanfinancial.net. We'll be back in a moment.
Attention, business owners. You're probably paying too much personal income tax. Tax Law Solutions has helped business owners permanently reduce personal income taxes by 20 to 40%. Call 787-200-3359. That's 787-200-3359 or online at taxlawsolutions.net.
Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. That's from the book of Matthew, of course. We've all learned the importance of having a strong foundation. Without one, everything else crumbles. Keep listening to The Retirement Architect to learn how to build a strong retirement plan. Here's your host, Angela Sloan.
And welcome back. This is Angela Sloan, your retirement architect. I have with me Nancy, who is going through the long-term care issue with her mother. And this has been going on for quite some time. Her mother's still living at age 96. She was in assisted living for about 3 years and in nursing care for about 8 years. But I wanted you to hear Nancy's story because something occurred within her family that I have heard many clients say that they would do rather than go to long-term care. And I wanted you to hear her story because I want you to understand what you're about to hear is not a joke, okay? So when I hear people say this, it makes me cringe because I know of situations where that has actually happened. People don't want to go into long-term care. Nobody sitting in a nursing home ever thought they were going to be there. And I have had clients tell me, oh, I will not go into long-term care. I'll take a gun to my head first. And that actually happened in Nancy's family. And I think when you say that, even if you really intend to do it, you don't realize how it affects the rest of the family. It's very selfish because somebody in your family is probably going to find you, and it's just horrible for the family. So, Nancy, thank you for joining us and sharing your story, because I know this, some of this is very hard for you to talk about, but I felt like if it could help other families out there that it'll be worth it. So I want you to tell a little of your story and what led up your mother finally going into assisted living.
Sure, Angela. Thanks for having me. I think, like you've talked many times before, this is a topic that people just really don't want to spend a lot of time thinking about, and it's something that affects many, many more families than people tend to realize. And it is one that's touched my family very closely for a number of years. And interestingly enough, I can probably, my one story touches so many different parts of this issue and how it affects people. I can go back, many, many, many years ago, and I remember one day my mother talking about somebody had come to talk to him about long-term care, and they actually bought it. And she talked about the fact that my stepfather couldn't sleep all night over the expense and couldn't wait. I sat by the phone waiting for it to be late enough the next morning to call the agent and say, I'm canceling. So they actually went through that, they evaluated the cost, and just felt it was something that they couldn't do. And I, looking back on it, I find that kind of an interesting piece of this, how this whole thing transpired. But a number of years later, they got older. My stepfather, I recognized, over a Christmas holiday that he wasn't doing all that well. I got a call not too long after Christmas saying, something's up. You probably need to come home. And I talked to my mother throughout the day and or throughout the morning as I was trying to get things together to get home. And I think he got word that I was headed in that direction. And to kind of cut to the chase on this, before I could get there, he did exactly what you talked about. He took care of things himself. And I look back on it and I think, I suspect that I know what was going through his mind. You know, I suspect that I know the things that he was struggling with. I can't for the life of me imagine how you could actually do that. But it can happen. But to the point that, you know, I think everybody has heard you make, you may not have that choice. And I think one of the things that happened that day, we all believe that he was, you know, having, I guess I'd call it mini strokes. And I suspect he knew. And he probably figured that if he didn't deal with it then, he may not have a choice later. And he did manage to deal with the situation while he still had a choice. An unbelievable situation to live through. An unbelievable situation. I can't to this day imagine how my mother dealt with what she dealt with before I got home, before other family members could get there. You know, but that's kind of how the whole thing started. And of course, you know, you mentioned my mother in a nursing home. And she is. She lived for a number of years, you know, on her own. She got to the point, you know, that one day we recognized that she just couldn't live alone any longer. You know, so now she is facing that exact scenario that years before they determined that they couldn't afford.
So she went to assisted living, I think you told me, about 3 years, and she's now been in a skilled nursing facility for about 8 years, and she's 96.
She is. She's 96, and I tell you, we've thought off and on that you know, things were, we've thought we've lost her a few times. She bounces back, she keeps going. She is in skilled nursing now. She, you know, she obviously can't, we're able to take her out, you know, to a family member for the holidays or something. She doesn't get out other than that. Initially, you know, in her mid-80s, she was able to go to assisted living, and that actually was a welcome change for her. She never really was, I'll say, comfortable living alone. So none of the family lived in the town at the time. All of her friends were there. She did not want to leave. She was still able to get out, you know, with what they called it, their lunch bunch. So assisted living was perfect for her. She was able to have her car. She could drive, scared us to death. If it had been today, I would have had, you know, a GPS tracker on it, so I would know what was going on. But, you know, that was good. She was in a place where she had people, you know, that she felt comfortable were watching over her, since the family was nowhere or couldn't be there at the time. And it was good. It worked out well. And all in all, it was very affordable. We were able to deal with that.
So you were able to deal with the assisted living, but then when she went into skilled nursing, the cost escalated.
Oh boy, that was a whole different story.
And while she was in assisted living, you guys could pay the bills and everything was going well. And then when she had to go to the skilled nursing, what happened to the cost?
Well, that was when it all changed. It was, you know, I was managing the finances. The assisted living was not a problem because she didn't really have a lot of other expense. As soon as she moved over to the skilled nursing side, I saw the end of that bank account coming at me pretty quickly. And, you know, and I knew that if she was there for an extended period of time, that it wasn't going to last. That was the first time I had ever really been faced with what that kind of care cost.
Yeah, so ultimately what has happened, this lady's still living. For her to make it to age 100 wouldn't shock me, but everything that she and her husband had worked for all those years is now gone. So no inheritance for Nancy and her brother.
You know, and that's a reality, but, you know, that's...
But the point is, had they taken that long-term care insurance, what they ultimately would have been insuring was everything they worked for. Because you think about, you've worked so hard all your life for what you have, you don't want to see it just dwindle down to nothing. So it's to protect your assets is basically what it boils down to. And it gives you choices. So, you know, if you have the coverage, you can choose what facility you want. You don't have to go to a facility that'll take Medicaid. So you can choose better. Now, Nancy, you're fortunate that your mother's in a facility in a small town, you know she's getting good care, even though you have to live about 2 hours away. However, your brother's a little bit closer, so
we're very fortunate now. My brother is back in the area. I am still away. I try to get home as often as I can. But the facility itself, you know, I've heard horror stories, you know, as we all have. But we're very lucky. It's a relatively small town. The facility is wonderful. People are wonderful. The care is great. You know, so that we can be very, very thankful for.
Nancy, I appreciate you sharing that story. And I know many of you out there in Radio Land can relate to that story. But I want you to just stop and think, those of you that are listening and those of you who have said, even if you were joking, that if it came to going to a nursing home, you would end it all. Because the impact that it has on the rest of your family, it will be for the rest of their lives. So with proper planning, it does not have to come to any of that. With proper planning, it does not have to spend everything that you've worked for. So the whole point of this is to get you to understand, do the planning. Because odds are, between a husband and a wife, one of you is going to need the care. 78% of the time, it's the wife. So please, do the planning. We're going to take a short break. If you have questions or you need some information, you can call us at 803-222-2892. Or you can email info@sloanfinancial.net. When we come back, we're going to talk to our other guest, Debbie, and she's going to tell you a little bit about what her family went through. So don't go away. We'll be back in a moment.
Attention, business owners. Permanently and dramatically reduce your personal income taxes by 20 to 40% this year and for years to come. In America, there are two tax systems, one for the informed and one for the uninformed. Both are legal. Call Tax Law Solutions today to find out if you're paying too much. Call 787-200-3359. That's 787-200-3359 or online at taxlawsolutions.net. Someone might try to sell you a home by slapping a new coat of paint on the exterior and drawing your attention to a nice living room inside. But what they might be hiding is that ugly and dangerous crack in the foundation on the side of the house. Unfortunately, you see tactics like this in the financial world. Advisors try to sell you the shiny object and ignore the cracks that might be hiding in the foundation of your financial plan. So turn to the retirement architect, Angela Sloan, to help you build a solid foundation for your financial plan. You'll feel better about what's ahead in retirement once that plan is in place. Call 803-222-2892. That's 803-222-2892.
In the construction world, architects use all sorts of gadgets when designing a building. They look for just the right tool to complete the job. Your retirement architect host, Angela Sloan, has lots of tools at her disposal too. Keep listening to find out how she designs the perfect plan.
And welcome back. This is Angela Sloan, your retirement architect. We have with us, our next guest is Debbie, and Debbie went through quite an episode with her mother as well, where it not only devastated her mother financially, but it also hurt her and her husband very, very much. Debbie, your dad died at age 57, so he had been dead for quite some time, and your mother went in for a pretty simple procedure, you know, a simple hip replacement, and then the very next day had a stroke. Tell us what happened in your world.
Well, she didn't have that severe of a stroke, but mentally she never really recovered from that, and it delayed her going to rehab, and so as far from a mobility standpoint, it pushed her way behind on the recovery process, but she continued to have the TIAs or the mini strokes, and you don't hear a whole lot about how devastating these little strokes can be when they continue over a period of time, because not does it just affect someone's mobility, but it also affects their mental state. And the thing that's tough with those is someone can appear fine one day, then the next day that they're not. So there's just a lot of uncertainty about, you know, how well they're doing and just a lot of different things. But so with me, you know, we were into months of physical therapy and different things, you know, trying to get her back to where she was self-sufficient and could walk and take care of herself. But like I said, I'm not really sure if it was from the strokes or having a fear of falling again, but it was just a lot of different things. And so basically she just resigned herself to being pretty much a cripple, an invalid, but however you want to look at that. And so she just continued to have these mini strokes. But the interesting thing is that when she was x-rayed or had MRIs, that type of thing, nothing really showed up. But we knew that she was having these because she lost the use of the muscles in, on one side of her, up in her jaw area and her throat. So she could not chew or swallow. So in addition to the mobility problems, then we also had to deal with, now with her having trouble chewing and swallowing. And so then we were looking at rounds of speech therapy and different things, and which after I think it was 3 or 4 months of speech therapy, they just pretty much told us that she was as good as she was going to get, and we would just have to learn to manage around it.
So you were going through all these physical things with your mom. How soon after she had her stroke did you have to quit your job?
I worked for another year. I was very lucky that my manager had been through this with his family, and then our regional director, his daughter was, she was had a very serious illness, so I was very lucky that I worked with people that had an understanding of what I was going through. So I continued to work for another year, but my mother was getting worse instead of getting better. And also things that you don't hear about a whole lot is the strokes or the TIAs, how they change a person. You know, you can take the nicest person at one point and then they turn into a very difficult person. So we tried different options, people coming in, adult daycare, things like that. But she was just very uncooperative, and it just became easier, for lack of a better word, for me to just take care of her, because that was really the only way that she was happy. And so anyway, it just continued for a while. And so basically, I ended up giving up my job, and I was out of work probably a year or two. And then, you know, I was very fortunate to find a job close to home that I, you know, had very flexible hours. And so this, I guess, continued on for another few years. And eventually the strokes had just taken such a toll on her that, you know, we lost her. But in people, you know, you see when you read literature and different things that, oh, someone may be sick usually 2 to 4 years, but as in with the three of us that you've heard, that's really not the norm. And I just encourage people to do your planning early. My mother did try to get long-term care insurance, but she had osteoporosis and wasn't able, and she didn't qualify. So, you know, my advice is to begin your planning early. Don't wait till you're in your 70s. You know, your late 50s, early 60s is really the ideal time to start thinking about, you know, planning ahead for this type of thing while you're still healthy. And so.
And so you had to quit your job, which really threw a monkey wrench in you and your husband's finances. And your mom, she had the money from where you had sold her house, and she had a small pension and Social Security. So it didn't take long to go through the house money, and now you're down to Social Security and pension. And when you tried to get help, you had told me that she was just a little bit over the limit, so therefore you couldn't get Medicaid help. So that added more to your financial responsibility, because what she had coming in wasn't going to be enough to pay for her care. So you have her living in your house, and thankfully you have a husband like mine who's a saint. And it was financially devastating, not only for your mom, but for you as well. And I'll point this out too. Debbie, you have a brother. Nancy, you have a brother. And I have a brother. And all of this happened with three mothers. What can a son really do for a mother? Number one. Number two, what are the sons willing to do for the mother? So it usually is going to fall on the shoulders of the daughter. That's just the way nature takes its course. So, Debbie, you actually did this. Your mother died when she was 81, which was, you know, about a year ago. So you went through a really tough time, and, you know, I watched what you went through. And there were days I just wanted to sit down and cry for you, because it was very difficult for you to go through what you went through. And even, you know, trying to accept her death was very difficult after going through all of that. So I want you to stop and think, do you want to do that to your children? Because I have vowed I will not do this to my kids. I won't do it. And, you know, the last thing I would want to do is them go to my funeral, put me in the ground, and then have to go pick up the pieces where I've destroyed them financially. Which one of your kids could afford to quit their job and come and take care of you? And the point I'm trying to make is face it now. There's no time like the present to face this and get some kind of plan in place. And I know some of you may have issues that you can't get the quote-unquote long-term care insurance. Debbie mentioned that her mom had osteoporosis. Ladies, I'm going to tell you something. If you've been diagnosed with osteoporosis and you have ever had a fracture, doesn't matter why you had the fracture, you are done. There will be no long-term care insurance for you. People don't understand. It is much harder to get long-term care insurance than it is life insurance. The underwriting is very stringent. For instance, somebody with MS can get life insurance, but they can't get long-term care insurance. And you say, well, that's crazy. Why? Well, MS don't kill you immediately. You can live a long time with MS, but it's chronic. It can cause you to, debilitating things can happen to you because of MS. So life insurance is underwriting for things that kill you. Long-term care insurance is underwriting for things that we all get. They're chronic. They don't kill us, but they disable us. Things like arthritis, you know, diabetes, you know, those type things is what they're underwriting for. So don't just assume, oh, well, you know, I'll wait until I'm 60, 65 years old, and then I'll shop for long-term care insurance or try to put together a plan, because by then it's probably going to be too late. The sooner you start shopping, the sooner you start planning, the better. And the way you look at the expense of putting together a long-term care plan is that you're prepaying it for pennies on the dollar. If you think back to last week, if you think back to Linda, she had paid in about $10,000 on that plan, and now she has care for the rest of her life. So if she lives, if she doesn't live but another 10 years, just think, you know, how many months will it take her to make that $10,000 back? You know, I've calculated mine, and I have calculated that I will probably pay about $100,000 into my plan. And based on inflation, it will take me about 6 months to make that back. If I need care at around age 85, it will take me about 6 months to make that back. You know, right now the cost of care is costing, you know, depending on the type of facility in this area, anywhere from $5,000 to $7,000 a month. But you put inflation on that, and you take that out about 25 years, and that care is gonna be about $25,000-$30,000 a month. And by the time we baby boomers, the bulk of the baby boomers hit the long-term care need, whoever can afford to pay for the care are the ones that's going to get the care, because there's so many of us and so few facilities. So the long-term care plan actually gives you choices. You know, you're not having to go wherever somebody tells you you have to go. You have more choices and can choose more of the type of care that you need and you want. So I encourage everybody out there, as you've listened to this, stop and think about your own situation, because every situation, every family is going to be different. And you might be in a situation where you do qualify, but you're not sure if you can afford it. I can tell you, you can't afford not to, okay? Or you might be in a situation where you've got a health issue that's standing in the way. Sometimes those can be worked around. It's a matter of planning, and planning may not include long-term care insurance. Okay, that might not be part of your plan, but there needs to be a plan, and you need to figure out how you're going to handle it, because if you wait until the time of need, everybody around you is acting out of desperation, and you're usually not making very good decisions when you're acting out of desperation. So I know this is a nasty subject, but it's one that has to be faced, and I appreciate you sticking it out with me today. This is Angela Sloan, your retirement architect. If you have questions, call us at 803-222-2892 or email us at info@sloanfinancial.net. Thank you, and we'll see you next week.